Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
My business used to be weighed down by the complexities of in-person payments. Then, Stripe Tap to Pay on iPhone came along and changed everything. With Stripe, I streamlined my payment process effortlessly. No more juggling different methods. Just a simple tap on my iPhone and transactions are complete. What's truly remarkable is how Stripe caters to all my customers' preferences. Whether they're using cards, Apple Pay, or other digital wallets, Stripe ensures a smooth checkout experience every time. Setting up Stripe was a breeze, taking just minutes to get up and running. From local markets to global retailers, Stripe helped me expand my reach and grow my business with ease. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone.
Thanks to everyone who supports Independent Tech News directly. If you're not already a member, become one at patreon.com/DTNS. This is the Daily Tech News for Tuesday, December 4th, 2018. In Los Angeles, I'm Tom Merritt.
And from Studio Feline, I'm Sarah Lane.
And from the Finnish countryside, I'm Patrick Beja.
And in for Roger Chang, I'm associate producer Anthony Lemos.
Thank you for joining us, Amos. A lot of folks reached out and were wondering if everything was okay with Amos up there in Alaska with the earthquake. That was very kind, very, very nice of you. I know, Amos, you appreciated all of that.
I really did. Everything is fine for the most part. I don't know of anybody that got seriously hurt in the local community. Good. And definitely not in my home, in my family.
Gotcha. Well, we are going to talk about an epic adventure for Epic Games in developer revenue sharing. But let's start with a few tech things you should know.
Facebook announced its annual F8 conference will be held on April 30th through May 1st, 2019 at the McEnery Convention Center in San Jose, California. Registration for the event isn't open yet, but developers can go to the F8 website for updates and more information.
Might be an interesting one. Quora announced Monday that, quote, a malicious third party, end quote, gained access to its systems, and CEO Adam D'Angelo says that the hack may have compromised 100 million users' names, email addresses, and encrypted passwords. Data imported from other social networks, such as contacts and demographic information, could also be compromised. The hackers may also have records on both public and private actions taken on Quora.
So every developer out there who's ever had a supervisor look at the plans to secure things better and said, is that really going to be a problem? Yes. The answer is yes. Yes, it will. It will absolutely become a problem. IDC's estimates show that Xiaomi has taken over as the leader in wearable sales in the third quarter, thanks to the Mi Band 3 fitness tracker. Xiaomi's sales rose in India, Europe, and the Middle East, even while their home market share fell a little bit. Apple fell from the lead in the wearables in IDC's estimates to second place. All right, let's talk about a crazy, crazy set-top box, Patrick.
So, French telecom Iliad announced the Freebox Delta set-top box. It has 6 Devialet speakers, Amazon voice services, Sigfox IoT service, Zigbee smart home connectivity, and more. It has gigabit Ethernet port, a terabyte hard drive, and can RAID up to 4 drives to create an NAS. It supports AirPlay, Bluetooth, and Spotify Connect, and a suite of apps like YouTube, Dailymotion, and Twitch. Subscribers get the cheapest Netflix tier for free, and new subscribers get a connected camera, door sensor, and motion detector for free as well. The box costs 10 euros per month over 48 months on top of whatever service you're paying for. It is, as TechCrunch writes, a bowl of Chocapic.
What's Chocapic mean?
It is a delicious brand of cereal, chocolate flavored cereal, as you might have guessed.
So meaning that this is a good deal.
It kind of is. So that company, Iliad, is actually better known by the name of its ISP, Free, which is the one that brought the triple play type set-top boxes to the world. And the reason why in France, set-top boxes or internet TV boxes like the Apple TV and such took a while to get in because we essentially already had all of those things. Free is an ISP that is very geek-centered and brings innovation where other incumbents are very happy to not do anything new or different. The drawback of that ISP is that it has very often had spotty service and has been fighting with YouTube and Netflix for peering agreements. I'm guessing that by now, given that they include all of those services in their offering, they have worked things out probably with commercial partnerships, I would guess.
Yeah. Wow. So if I have this right, Patrick, Xavier Niel is big in the startup scene in France. And so he's taken that connectivity, that sort of knowledge and got a bunch of startups to throw everything they could think of his way for this box. As I don't know if it's a last ditch effort, but it seems like, a sort of emergency effort to stop the erosion of Free's market share.
I guess that could be seen like that. Xavier Niel, if you want to pronounce it the American way. Niel. He's the guy behind the School 42. I guess you've heard about that one. It's also being implemented in the Valley, if I'm not mistaken. It's not the first time that he's done something like this. Actually, Free has been known, since the early 2000s when they launched the ISP. They have always innovated and had interesting set-top boxes. I think the recent issues have been caused more by the quality of the service, which I was referring to, than by the quality of the offering, of the thing they provide, the hardware. This seems to fix basically every problem they've had if the service, the network improves. And it also allows them to actually increase the price of the subscription to their to the ISP, which had been stuck at 30 euros for a very long time. And now it's 10 or 20 euros more expensive, depending on the box you choose, which might help in turn improve the service and their peering agreements and network.
And be a tasty bowl of chocolate stuff.
Of course.
I learned something today. Windows Central sources say that Microsoft's Edge web browser, which I don't know what you guys think about it, but I have lots of grumbling to do, is going to be replaced with a new web browser built on the open source Chromium platform and its Blink rendering engine, which is the same as Google's Chrome. Codenamed Anaheim, the new browser for Windows 10 would replace Edge as the default browser on the platform. Although, if you don't like Edge, it still might be called Edge, but maybe be a better version of Edge.
Yeah. So a lot of, I think Opera uses the Blink engine, if I'm not mistaken, right? So this would not be the first time that another browser has used this engine. Although the way Windows Central wrote it, and I'm not sure if this is a misinterpretation or not, they would actually be using Chromium, not just the Blink engine. I would be a little bit surprised if they actually used Chromium and rebranded it as Edge, although it's an open source platform. They would be able to do that if they wanted. If they're just using the Blink rendering engine, that's a little more normal. I do think it's really interesting to see an open source project that's owned and run by Google having Microsoft jump on board in a major way. That could be very good for things, if that forces that open source project to move a little bit away from being dominated by Google. At the same time, if they were going to do that, I really wish they would have jumped into Mozilla and used the Firefox engine, which is also an open source project that is operated by an independent foundation.
I think it might have had other I think it would have seen Mozilla might have been seen to be tainted by Microsoft more than Chromium for some strange reason. You know, Mozilla is super independent and seen as one of the non-influenced by the big tech companies entity. I'm wondering if they're going to be calling it Edge. I think they might need to change the name, if only to get a feeling of newness. Maybe they could, I don't know, go to something to explore the wonderful world of the internet, like the Internet Explorer.
I'm pretty sure they're not going to call it Anaheim.
Maybe not.
I think it's just going to be called Edge. I think it's just going to be the,
Edge has gotten better.
Yeah. When Opera moved to the Blink engine, they didn't rename Opera. Why would you're moving off of Edge HTML?
Because one of the issues is that Edge is carrying a negative image. So I don't know if it, maybe not.
I think that's giving Edge too much credit. I don't think a lot of people even know it exists.
It's fine though. It's a fine browser.
Edge is better, and keeping the name, I think, actually helps the Edge brand rather than Microsoft being like, oh, now we got a whole new browser because Edge was a failure.
A new image.
CB did there.
Alphabet will launch its Wing drone delivery service, Patrick, in Helsinki, Finland this spring.
Oh!
Wing spent 18 months in southeastern Australia testing delivery of food, drinks, medicine, and household items, and now wants to expand that to the Helsinki area. Meanwhile, Ghana has signed an agreement with Zipline International for the delivery of health supplies nationwide. Zipline already does this in Tanzania and Rwanda, although Ghana's parliament deferred the finalization of the agreement while it completes regulatory checks. There's also some debate about the cost of the program. So it's not going into effect yet, but Zipline is very successful in Tanzania and Rwanda. And if it does navigate the political obstacles here in Ghana, this would be a big win for them. These are actual drone delivery operations from actual companies in both cases. You may be thinking, hey, what about Amazon? Weren't they supposed to do this? Well, as a matter of fact, 5 years ago, December 1st, CBS's 60 Minutes did its famous story, quote unquote, about Amazon's promise to deliver packages by drone. And in that story, as Reuters points out, AP News points out, Amazon said, yeah, we'll be delivering packages by drone within 4 to 5 years. I don't know. Maybe they didn't mean we as in Amazon. Maybe they meant we as the human race, in which case they were right.
Well, it's not as if Amazon isn't practicing this whole thing.
Sure.
So, you know, I mean, like it might be a little semantics argument, but it's not as if Amazon isn't trying to make this happen and certainly test using it. Patrick, is there anything, I don't know, you know, as far as drone delivery in your neck of the woods where it would make more sense than other topographic areas?
You know, I live about 2 hours away from Helsinki. So literally my neck of the woods is literally my neck of the actual woods.
It's literal woods. You know?
So I don't know what range those drones have, but I'm guessing that Helsinki means, you know, probably Helsinki. I don't think I would have great use for it in a very rural area. It's almost faster to go by car. It probably is. I never really thought about this, but I'm guessing it's a little bit more useful in urban areas. I mean, well, I'd love to. I guess it's not practical.
It depends on the terrain, right? It's Zipline is doing this in Rwanda and Tanzania because it's difficult to drive medical supplies and blood tests,
of course.
You know, over the mountainous terrain or through jungle terrain in some cases. So I don't know if your roads are frozen and you want to order some stuff and it could come to you by drone. That might be good.
If they deliver pizza, then yes, sure. I mean, yes.
Man after my own heart.
Brazil's Hubox Robotics has created the Wheelie 7 that uses AI to recognize 10 facial expressions that can be used to control a wheelchair. Users can assign expressions like raising an eyebrow or sticking out your tongue to movements like forward, rotate, and stop. Hubox partnered with Intel to create a combination of deep depth sensing camera, robotics, and sensors to work with facial recognition software. 60 people in the U.S. are testing the system.
I love this story. Now, Intel is trumpeting this as an example of using Intel technologies. But I want to give Hubox Robotics the credit for assembling all this stuff. And granted, Intel is a big part of this with the development of the technology behind it. But Hubox is implementing it. So I don't know if they're getting as much of the credit in some of the stories that I saw. So I kind of wanted to tilt it their way. But what a great situation to be able to for folks who have to rely on sensors, especially, and can't even operate a joystick. This could be revolutionary.
Right. That's really the kind of thing that is not going to be useful for a lot of people on this planet, but those who will have a use for it, because I'm guessing they can't really make any use of their limbs. It's going to be super useful, I'm guessing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, and in the sense of, and of course it's very case by case, but some folks who are quadriplegic have been able to make use of their wheelchair by their tongue, but that means something that is in their mouth that their tongue is actually touching.
Yeah.
So if there's something that's in front that gives you a little bit more freedom to use the technology to get around, but it'd be less invasive personally than physically. I can imagine that is a real win for accessibility folks.
Yeah.
It really feels like people that had an issue that they knew were an issue that looked for a solution rather than something that often happens in tech, a solution that then looks for an issue to solve.
Well said.
A new study by DuckDuckGo claims that Google personalizes search results even if users are logged out of their Google accounts and using the private browsing incognito mode. Google responded by saying that search results can change by the minute, sometimes even by the second, especially for news topics. The company also says that personalization is done only a fraction of the total number of search queries, and location and recent queries are often used to help understand the context for a search. However, Google also says that it doesn't personalize results for incognito searches using signed-in search history, which is something that people were a little worried about.
Well, I guess that doesn't sound like a straight answer to me.
Let me just say something here. I am a big fan of DuckDuckGo. I love their business model. I love their way of approaching things. This is a little bit of hyperbole.
Self-serving.
It is very self-serving. Yeah. And what DuckDuckGo built their reputation on is, we don't track you. We just look at your search query. And if you are typing in, DVDs, we'll put up ads for people who sell DVDs, right? We'll just base on the query. I mean, Google could create a study that shows that DuckDuckGo is tracking you, even though they don't say, because they serve ads related to your search query, which would be similar to this. Because I do believe what Google says, which is that they take into account location, which comes from your IP address. It's not your GPS location, but it's your region. And they take into account previous queries, which DuckDuckGo also does, and then comes up with search engine results. And I do believe that Google is changing those results every second because of the way their algorithm works. And it would appear difficult to create the same results twice in that situation. So I'm not letting Google off the hook. Maybe there is some other stuff and it's worth investigating to find out. But just on the information we have from DuckDuckGo, I don't know that this is a smoking gun.
Google could have stated it a little bit more plainly, which worries me.
Explanation, though, this is as plain as you can state it if this is the truth.
Well, it seems to me that what DuckDuckGo is saying is,
hi, this is Janice Torres from Yo Quiero Dinero. From a local business to a global corporation, partnering with Bank of America gives your operation access to exclusive digital tools, award-winning insights, and business solutions so powerful, you'll make every move matter. Visit bankofamerica.com/bankingforbusiness to learn more. What would you like the power to do? Bank of America N.A. Copyright 2024.
My business used to be weighed down by the complexities of in-person payments. Then, Stripe Tap to Pay on iPhone came along and changed everything. With Stripe, I streamlined my payment process effortlessly. No more juggling different methods. Just a simple tap on my iPhone and transactions are complete. What's truly remarkable is how Stripe caters to all my customers' preferences. Whether they're using cards, Apple Pay, or other digital wallets, Stripe ensures a smooth checkout experience every time. Setting up Stripe was a breeze, taking just minutes to get up and running. From local markets to global retailers, Stripe helped me expand my reach and grow my business with ease. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone.
The Claude 3 model family from Anthropic is your one-stop shop for enterprise AI. With models at every point on the price-performance curve, you no longer have to make trade-offs between intelligence, speed, and cost. Claude 3 Opus sets new industry benchmarks for intelligence. Sonnet strikes the perfect balance between skills and speed. And Haiku is the fastest and lowest-cost model in the market, perfectly designed for high-volume, high-speed use cases. Join the thousands of enterprises who trust Anthropic to keep them at the frontier. Visit anthropic.com/Claude today.
As well, it personalizes your search. Google could have said, yes, we use, we use location, and that's it. What else? Like, give a list of what they use to
Google
personalize.
Google says it doesn't personalize results for incognito searches using signed in search history, period.
Yes,
which is kind of what DuckDuckGo was saying.
Mm. Okay,
so they refuted the main contention outright. I don't know, man.
Well, yes. Okay. That is the most important thing. Like, if they were using your signed in information when you weren't signed in, that would be a huge concern. And they do refute that. So I take your point.
Hey, folks, if you want to get all the tech headlines each day in about 5 minutes, be sure to subscribe to DailyTechHeadlines.com. Now, you may have been wondering about the Epic Games story. Well, yeah, Epic Games announced it will launch its own digital game store for Mac and Windows. Version of Android will come later in 2019. You'll be able to get it online or through the Epic Games launcher, which if you play Fortnite, you use the Epic Games launcher. Epic says it will not require DRM in order to be in its store. They'll allow DRM-free sales. And here's the big point. Developers will receive 88% of revenue from sales. Users of the Unreal Engine, who usually have to share a percentage of their sales in order to use the Unreal Engine, will not have to pay that 5% engine royalty on sales through the Epic Store. It'll just be part of the 12% that Epic is keeping. Now, that goes against the usual 30% that most stores like Steam take. In fact, Steam recently instituted tiers, lowering the cut it takes to below 30%, but only if your revenue tops $10 million. More information on the Epic Games store is coming probably December 6th at the Game Awards. Patrick, this is kind of a big deal.
It is a huge deal, especially since this announcement is coming like 3 days before Steam announced that they would graciously lower their percentage from 30% to 25% if you top 10 million, and then to 20%. If you topped, think of a number. What number do you think you have to top to get to?
Oh, I see if I remember it right. Is it 50 million?
50 million, yeah. Which only two games in the history of Steam have reached. And this seemed like a pretty big deal when Steam announced it a couple of days ago. And Epic is essentially destroying that announcement, ridiculing it with their own announcement. I'm pretty sure it's so close together that they can't have planned it. I doubt they did to come out so close to one another. But this is really significant because the PC game store ecosystem has been kind of stagnant for years now, ever since Valve launched their Steam store, and it's been over 10 years. It took a few years to gain traction, but it certainly has been the main way that people get their games on PC for a long time. And this is in the context of more and more developers and publishers, big ones, creating their own platform, their own storefront for people to reach their customers directly. With that kind of revenue share, it almost, I don't know how much it costs to put up and maintain that kind of store, but I'm guessing for many of the publishers, it doesn't really make sense to have your own store if you can keep 88% of the revenue that you're getting from the Epic store. So I'm guessing a lot of them might decide, maybe not the big, big ones, but a lot of the middle tier ones might decide, you know what, let's go with Epic. That being said, Steam still has the majority of the player base as their customers. So it's still, you know, the familiarity of it is important. Epic does have, they recently announced 200 million Fortnite players. 200 million. Steam, by comparison, has 100 million users. Of course, a large part of those 200 million Fortnite players are playing on mobile. So it's probably a fraction of that that play on PC, but it's significant. It's a lot of people that you can incite to come to your PC store. So it is massive for the gaming world on PC already, for sure.
Yeah, imagine we've talked about with Discord opening its store, the idea that, well, with so many people using Discord to chat while they game, what a perfect thing for Discord to do, to say, hey, why don't you just buy your games here since you're already here while you're gaming? Imagine Fortnite, right? I mean, Discord, as popular as it is not as popular as Fortnite. And if you could start a game store on the front of Fortnite, why wouldn't you? Now, granted, I imagine this is a question I have, Patrick, and I don't know if you know the answer. Is it costly to publish to multiple platforms? That seems to be the wisest choice if you can do it, to say, yeah, I'll make my game available on Discord, on Steam, on Epic, and maybe I'll promote it to Epic more because I keep more of the revenue, but why not have it in all the places?
Well, traditionally, there hasn't really been many places.
Yeah, I know. This is a new issue, right?
Yeah, there's been Steam, maybe Good Old Games if you want to publish there as well. Now there is also Discord, which you might want to go to. But this one is really significant because if you get to keep 88%, you might even be able to price it a little bit lower and still get more money, especially if you don't have to pay the 5%. If your game is an Unreal Engine game and you don't have to pay the 5% on top to Epic, because if you sell on Steam and it's an Unreal Engine game, you have to pay 30% to Valve and then 5% to Epic. So the amount you get to keep is significant. And I think this is a massive incentive for companies to put their games on the Epic store. And sure, you can put it on every store if you want to, but I'm guessing that some developers might want to put it first on the Epic game store and then maybe put it to Steam later. And if it's a game that is highly anticipated, they might want to put it, you know, be enough to drive people to the Epic store and pay a little bit less, maybe even. And one other thing I wanted to add is, in the context of the potential arrival of streaming technology, you know, video game streaming, we've talked about it a lot. It might be coming in the next few years. More and more developers are not beholden to either Steam or Sony or Microsoft for the consoles. They can reach their customers directly because they only need a small app on a set-top box or a TV or something like this, or even a mobile device. Steam is getting not attacked, but, you know, there's danger everywhere. Right now, Valve is looking at the 5-year, 10-year future and thinking, you might need to change things. And the last thing I want to add, I'm wondering if this will have an impact on the general model of stores take 30%. That's the way it is. It's like that everywhere, and that's the standard. It might potentially have an impact on stores in general, potentially.
Yeah. And consumers, does it matter to you if you have a few different icons on your desktop where you've got things bought at different places? Or is this bothersome and you really just want to have one place that holds all your digital games? Or are you like, nah, I'm just going to buy physical copies forever. Forget it. Not even going to be part of this unless I got a coupon. Let us know. feedback@dailytechnewsshow.com.
Also, thanks to everybody who participates in our subreddit. You can submit stories and vote on others at dailytechnewsshow.reddit.com. If you hang out on Facebook a lot, well, we've got a group for you. Facebook.com/groups/dailytechnewsshow.
And we love your emails. We do. Keep sending them. What do we got today?
Oh, Nick actually wrote in. He was talking about our conversation about 8K broadcasts and do we need them and where's it all going? Nick says, I work at one of Australia's largest department store chains. Among our many other lines, we carry DVDs, Blu-rays, and 4K UHD Blu-rays. Despite most TVs on the market these days being 4K, including the ones that we sell, DVDs are still the most popular optical disc that we sell. I'd estimate we sell about 20 DVDs for every Blu-ray that gets sold. 4K UHD Blu-ray sales are so rare, I almost want to stop the person buying and ask them about their purchase. Personally, I feel if the TV industry wants to push higher resolutions, they're going to need to work with movie studios to phase out lower quality media and force an upgrade to people's viewing habits.
That's a good point. And it's good to get those boots on the ground perspectives. I imagine the reason you see more DVD sales is that more people have DVD players than Blu-ray players. And yeah, anybody who's not in the market for DVDs anymore just streams and hasn't bothered to buy a Blu-ray player.
Well, that's me for sure. Yeah.
And I think that's where it's going. And to Nick's point, the TV industry wants to push higher resolutions. They need to get those 4K streams up. They need to get bandwidth up so that people feel comfortable that they're not going to go over their caps if they have a cap or they have enough bandwidth to stream a high resolution stream. And we've already seen the stores like Play Store and the Apple Store both automatically upgrading you to 4K content. Because they convinced the industry, like, hey, you need to do this. You need to get people used to it so they're willing to buy the 4K movies if they have the 4K TV.
Well, thanks so much for the feedback, Nick. And thanks for everybody for their feedback. And also thanks to Patrick Beja for being with us today. Patrick, where can people keep up with all of your fine, fine work?
Well, the easiest is to go to Twitter and follow me. I'm not Patrick there. I mean, I'm not Patrick. That's my Twitter handle. Just, you know, it's easy. You think Patrick, and then you add a not before it. But if you're looking for a show to subscribe to, you could do Pixels, which is a general gaming show for people who are real, quote-unquote, gamers. Or we just recorded an episode of MVGB, the Monthly Video Game Briefing Podcast, which is an offshoot of DTNS, with Scott Johnson. And we did a holiday guide of which console to buy in different cases. So for different people who are not core gamers, who are casual gamers, which console should you look at for this holiday season? I think you might like it. It's MVGB, so go subscribe there.
Yeah, do it now, folks. It's perfect for you. Trust us. DailyTechNewsShow.com/MVGB. All right. We have less than a day. We have 0 days left in the holiday offer where you'll get a postcard with some original M. Peralta art on it and a message from us if you sign up for our Patreon. You've got till 12 Pacific on December 5th. That's 3 p.m. Eastern, December 5th. And you'll get a postcard with a special message from us. Remember, you have to give us your mailing address to get the card because we can't mail it if we don't know where to mail it to. So go sign up. Please get us over the hump. We always want to have one patron more than last month. And last month we had 6 more. Can we make it 7 more this month? Who knows? You do by signing up at patreon.com/DTNS.
Holiday miracles around every corner. Speaking of miracles, well, not really. Our email address is feedback@dailytechnewsshow.com. This is a segue that I thought might work but didn't. We're live Monday through Friday at 4:30 p.m. Eastern, 21:30 UTC. If you can join us live, we would love to have you. And you can find out more and tell a friend at dailytechnewsshow.com/live.
Back tomorrow with Scott Johnson. Talk to you then.
Bye.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.
Hi, this is Janice Torres from Yo Quiero Dinero. If you own or operate a business, whether it's a local operation or a global corporation, partnering with Bank of America could be your smartest move. By teaming with Bank of America, you'll enjoy exclusive digital tools, award-winning insights, and business solutions so powerful, you'll make every move matter. Position your business to capitalize on opportunity in a moment's notice. Visit bankofamerica.com/bankingforbusiness to learn more. What would you like the power to do? Bank of America NA, copyright 2024.
My business used to be weighed down by the complexities of in-person payments. Then, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe came along and changed everything. With Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe, I streamlined my payment process effortlessly. Now I can accept in-person, contactless payments right from my iPhone. No extra hardware required. What's truly remarkable is how I can cater to all of my customers' payment preferences. Whether they're using cards, Apple Pay, or other digital wallets, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe ensure a smooth checkout experience every time. And it's not just me. Stripe helps businesses of all sizes, from local markets to global retailers, scale quickly and stay agile. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone.